I've seen some of the sideways glances this morning. And I know what some of y'all are thinking. It's like, who does Mike think he is? Dressing like some TV preacher or something. You know, we had a message a few weeks ago, don't judge. I'm just saying. Today, the message is Highway to Heaven. And if there is a highway to heaven, it stands to reason there's a highway to hell. So I'm kind of grunged up a little bit, you know, because we're going to talk about that highway to hell. It would have been 2008, I believe. And if I remember correctly, Austin and I were walking through Walmart, and we saw an AC/DC t-shirt with their hit song Highway to Hell on it. And Austin said, you could really turn that around and make a great camp t-shirt out of that. And I'm like, well, keep on talking. You know, Highway to Heaven, we start kind of brainstorming, and I got with my personal graphic designer, Anna, and we came up with this shirt for the 2009 camp season. You don't have to hide your children's eyes or anything, because I'm not going to get totally undressed, but we came up with this shirt for the 2009, there we go, Highway to Heaven, right? So I'm rocking the t-shirt, it's 10 years old, and it's great though. I mean, we got the BC to AD instead of AC/DC, right? Because Jesus created the world, and you know, I mean, he split time in half. BC and AD, time is split in half in our reality because Jesus died on the cross. And so, I mean, it's everything's around him, and we've got the Highway to Heaven on the back. We made it look like a tour shirt with all the camp dates on it. And then we've got the verse on there that is enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. But it also says the gate is narrow, the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. And we had the shirts, we had them printed on black, we also had printed on gray, and it was a really good camp year. We sold over 130 shirts that year, and I still get comments from people when I'm wearing them out in public, and they'll look at it and they'll go, oh, wow, I thought that was AC/DC. And they got to look twice. It's like, no, this is better. This is a better message. See, it gives me an opportunity to say, you know, that this is a better message than they gave us in that song. And I know every generation thinks the younger generation's music is awful. And so, to be honest, when I was 17 or 18, I'm riding around with my friends, and you don't even understand half the lyrics you're singing, right? I mean, you're just going, la, 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 highway, you know, and you come back to that. But it's like, you know, so we're driving around. The music's too loud. The windows are down. We're just obnoxious, right? And it's like singing along with AC/DC. And now we can go to the internet and we can look up the lyrics and see what it actually says. And frankly, though, even though it's hard to understand a lot of what these guys sing, the title of the song and the album are both Highway to Hell. Not much of an excuse there. My excuse was that I was not saved yet, and I was on that highway, and so I didn't care. But the lyrics go, living easy, living free, season ticket on a one-way ride, asking nothing, leave me be, taking everything in my stride, don't need reason, don't need rhyme, ain't nothing that I'd rather do, going down, party time, my friends are going to be there too. I'm on the highway to hell. And they said over and over and over and over. That's the part you could understand. Next verse, no stop sign, speed limit, nobody's going to slow me down. Hey, Satan, paying my dues, playing in a rocking band. Hey, mama, look at me, I'm on my way to the promised land. I'm on a highway to hell. And, wow, you know, it's just, okay, but it's just music, right? It's just people having fun. Is it really that bad? Supposedly, the song is about Canning Highway in Australia. And that's, the band is from Australia. And it went from the city where the lead singer lived, and it ended at a bar. And it was a very dangerous road with hills and dips, and there were no stop signs, and there was no speed limit on that road. And he was going there to be with his friends at the bar. And apparently, quite a few people died from car accidents on that road. And so perhaps they came into this with a double meaning, but you know, the album cover had the lead guitarist wearing devil's horns. Okay? They are playing up the image, this bad boy image, this satanic image to push the song and to push the music. And it really does sound like almost like they read these verses in Matthew when they wrote the song, but only to treat them irreverently. They're talking about being free and easy. Jesus says the road is wide and it's easy that leads to destruction. All my friends are going to be there too. Jesus said many will enter the gate that leads to destruction. And so I'm sure they didn't believe the Bible version of it, or else they wouldn't have made light of it. And maybe they looked at it, maybe they didn't, but sadly, just months after the album was released, the lead singer died from overdrinking. And he was passed out drunk and he choked on his own vomit. And it's just another warning that the road that leads to destruction is wide. And you never know if you will have tomorrow to get on the right road. See, that's the attitude a lot of people have about the highway to hell is they really don't believe there's a hell. And so they don't even consider that they're on it. And so they think when we die, we just cease to exist. That sometimes people think, well, just everybody gets to go to heaven. That's all. Just everybody goes to heaven. Some people believe that hell is just the bad things that happen in this life. And so what you want to do is you're better off just to do whatever you want, have all the fun you can while you're alive, because it's all done with afterward. And some people believe that you get another chance, that you'll be reincarnated into someone else or something else over and over and over until you just become one with the universe. And so if someone is refusing to take a literal view of hell as a real place of eternal punishment, then it's easy to crack jokes about it. It's easy to write songs about it that are irreverent. It's easy to just say, like, you know, heaven's going to be boring. I'm going to have fun with all my friends in hell. And those are the things people say who don't believe that it's real and that it's literal. The New Living Translation of the Bible puts it this way: you can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate, but the highway to hell is broad and its gates are wide for the many who choose that way. But since this highway exists, and even though many choose this way, not everybody does. And so there is another highway. There's the highway to heaven. There's the gateway to life that is very narrow and the road is difficult, and only a few ever find it. That's the highway to heaven we're talking about. Not the old Michael Landon TV show, but a journey that we choose to walk in this life with Jesus. And it leads to life eternal. Jesus has been talking about the kingdom life throughout the Sermon on the Mount. And he's wrapping it up by confirming to us that the kingdom goes beyond this physical life. There's more than just living here on the earth. But first, what we want to do is we've got to deal with verse 12, because verse 12 comes up first. And it's what's commonly known as the golden rule. I'm really shifting gears on you here. The golden rule is a good first step toward the narrow gate. Okay? But it doesn't get you in. All right? And I'm going to explain this in a bit. Matthew 7:12 says, "Whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets." The golden rule is perfect if you practice kingdom thinking and kingdom attitudes. When you follow the Beatitudes, when you're meek and merciful, when you hunger for righteousness, when you think about sin the way Jesus thinks about sin, that you just don't avoid murder, but that you need to avoid being angry, because that is what leads to murder, and that you want to avoid not just adultery or divorce, but you avoid even lusting or being in a position where that could happen in life, okay? And if we have that attitude, then the golden rule is, man, it's perfect, okay? It works out great. You want to be treated the way Christ would treat you, so you treat others the same way. And I really wish that I could follow the golden rule. I think I do most of the time, but when I examine myself, and I mean really examine myself, I begin to see the times that I have treated people in some way that I wouldn't want to be treated. Okay? Where I spoke to Gina in a way that I had to apologize. Or something like that. When, you know, because I don't want to be spoken to that way. How many times has your phone rung and you look at it and you're going like, oh man, I don't want to talk to them. Just put it back in your pocket. I've never done that, but I know you guys have. Is that how you want to be treated? When you need to call someone, do you want them to look at their phone and say, oh, I don't want to talk to them? Put it back in their pocket. You know, if they really want me, they'll leave a message. See, we demand respect, but then we treat others with disrespect. And the bad part's when we don't even realize we're doing it. We don't even understand and realize that we're not treating someone the way we want to be treated. Man, I wish we could keep the golden rule like Jesus wants it to. You know, I read this week of an abortion doctor who claims to be a Christian, and he actually said he was doing God's work as an abortionist. And he also claims that any Christian who opposes abortion is acting in an unchristian manner. And I just try to wrap my mind around that, and I think, is he treating this unborn baby the way he wants to be treated? I don't think so. And so the golden rule is, it's a good target, but when we look at our sin nature, we don't do it very well. But what if someone's not even a Christian? You know, and there are unbelievers, they try to keep the golden rule according to their personal belief system, but many others don't. Many people just live by their own rules. There's a lot of rules out there to live by. There's the iron rule. I don't know if you've ever heard of that. The iron rule is basically do unto others. Full stop, period. Might makes right. Do what you can get away with. That would be the iron rule. The iron rule is why we have locks on our doors and on our windows. Okay? Because some people's actions tell us that they believe if they are strong enough or sneaky enough or clever enough to take it and get away with it, then good for them. And frankly, I might step on a few toes here. That's why gun control doesn't work. Because there are too many people who live by the iron rule, and they will still find a way to get a gun. And if they can't get a gun, then they will get something else. It doesn't change their character. Right? That's why they're passing knife control in London right now. Because they've already banned guns, and now that their murders by knife exceed the murders in New York City. You can believe that. London murders by knife exceed gun murders in New York City. Okay? It's a character issue is what it is. I found a couple of rules called the silver rule. Okay? One is the silver rule of Satanism taught by Anton LaVey. Do unto others what they do to you. And if someone does good to you, then you might do good, but it also means revenge. If someone does wrong to you, there's no forgiveness in this rule. There's also the silver rule that basically states the golden rule, but it's in the negative. It's what the Talmud, the old Jewish teachings, used to have. And it was saying, don't do what you don't want people to do to you. So it's a passive rule. It's basically saying, do no harm, but there's really no incentive to just go do good to somebody else. Okay? Do you remember when credit card companies began coming out with the gold card? Right? Regular credit card wasn't good enough. Had to have the gold card. And the gold card, I don't know, I don't really know what good it did you, but it was gold, so you had to have it. And pretty soon, you know, if you didn't have the gold card, you just didn't have good credit. Until what? Until the platinum card came out, right? You got a gold card, I got a platinum card. You know, man, I am so much better than you. You know, well, people have come up with the platinum rule. The platinum rule is they believe it's better than the golden rule. And instead of treating others the way you want to be treated, and this is not biblical, okay? This platinum rule is not biblical, but they say that we should treat others the way they want to be treated. On the surface, that sounds good. But here's the problem with that. Some people want to do drugs. Some people want to get drunk. Some people want to live immoral lifestyles. And it is not a loving thing to enable and affirm those people who want to be destructive to themselves, even if it's what they want. Well, after the platinum card got old, is there anything better than platinum? It's the titanium card, right? I mean, can you get any more than titanium? I don't know. I think titanium is the highest. They just need to stop. But the titanium rule could be summed up as doing the golden rule the way Jesus would do it, the way he intended us to do this. And the titanium rule, really, if we follow John 15, 12, and 13, Jesus said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends." Jesus didn't use the phrase golden rule, but he gave us the command in Matthew 7 to treat others the way we want to be treated. And he says it sums up the law and the prophets. He said, you know, whatever you wish for them to do, do to them. That's the law and the prophets. And we need to do this, but it doesn't save us, because the law doesn't save us. The prophets don't save us. And so the golden rule is a good rule to live by, but remember, we aren't saved by rules. And that's why I say this is a good first step toward the narrow gate. If you go back to verse 11 from last week, Jesus says, "You who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children." And deep down, Jesus is saying, we all pretty much know what's expected of us. Even if we're evil parents, we know we need to give good stuff to our kids. And I think if people tried really, really hard, even non-Christians could probably get the golden rule right. Wild guess, 85% of the time. And many people take this first step toward the narrow gate, but they don't keep going. They never make it through. Oh, they were a good person. Well, maybe by human standards, but not by the standards of God's holiness. But see, that doesn't get you on the right road. Good intentions don't save you. What do they say about the pathway to hell? It's paved with good intentions. Well, what do you need to get into heaven without Jesus? Well, you need 100% of the time to be able to keep the golden rule, to be able to live it perfectly, the way Jesus wants you to keep it, to be sinless. Okay? And so the golden rule given by Jesus, it shows us the heart of Jesus. It shows us what Jesus wants from us. It is a stepping stone that leads to the right gate, but it doesn't get you in the gate. We have to make a conscious decision to go through the narrow gate and to be on the narrow path. Okay? First, though, we're going to look at the wide gate. The wide gate and the wide way. It says the gate is wide and easy that leads to destruction. Those who enter it are many. And so we see that the wide gate and way, it's easy, there's very little resistance, and it is the most popular choice. Okay, all you got to do is go with the flow. Everyone's doing it. If I don't, people will make fun of me. If I don't do what they're doing, I don't want to get made fun of. Let me show you how easy it is to find yourself on the wide path. Moses had been on Mount Sinai just a little bit too long, okay? God had spoken the Ten Commandments out loud so the people could hear them, all the people, out loud, okay? The voice coming from the mountain, God is giving them the Ten Commandments. But then Moses didn't come back down right away. And, well, what happened to Moses? Did God kill Moses? The people got impatient. And so they went to Aaron, all right? Aaron is Moses' brother. Aaron, whose staff turned into a serpent when he threw it down in front of Pharaoh, okay? Aaron, that God made the first high priest of the nation of Israel, that Aaron. And all these people come to him and said, "We don't know what happened to Moses. Make us a God to worship." Did he say, "No way, I'm not going to do that"? Or, "Well, let's sit down and think about this"? He says, "Oh, okay, bring me all your gold jewelry." And he made a golden calf because it's what everyone wanted. It was the easy path. It was the easy thing to do. He got no resistance when he made that decision. And he gave no resistance either, frankly. You ever been on a float trip? Okay, it's not a perfect example, but there's no effort. You get in the raft, you get in the tube, you start floating downstream, right? And you're having fun. You don't have to think about it. You're just hanging out. But unless you put in a lot of effort, it's always downstream, right? It's never back upstream. You get to the end, you get in a truck and ride back. C.S. Lewis said that the safest road to hell is the gradual one. The gentle slope, soft underfoot, without sudden turnings, without milestones, without signposts. And so this wide road, it's easy. I mean, it is an easy road to be on. Jesus said those who enter the wide gate are many. And so here's another thing about the wide path. You don't have to find it, okay? It is the default setting for all unbelievers. you're into computers, you know what that means. That's how you come out of the box. Default setting. It is the default setting for people of age, all right, until we become Christians. And when I say of age, what I mean is our little children aren't, they can't make those decisions yet. They can't repent. But as soon as they're old enough to understand what repentance is and what giving yourself to Jesus is, they become responsible to make this decision to get off the wide path, to get on the narrow path to follow Jesus Christ. And it is uncomfortable to think about. It gets back to the idea that being a good person by human standards doesn't put you on the narrow path. And when we are at that place of mental capacity that we can make this decision, we're on the wide path. Every single one of us, we're born with that sin nature, and until we make a conscious decision to walk the narrow way, to give our lives to Jesus Christ, we're on the wide path. Now, if you are considering giving your life to Christ, but you haven't done it yet, you're still on the wide path. Okay, if you're at a crossroads in your life and you are considering the claims of Jesus Christ, you can't be on both roads at the same time. You're still on the wide path. Okay? Almost saved is unsaved. Half saved is unsaved. That's why the Bible tells us that now is the time of God's favor. Today is the day of salvation. Okay? Now, it is important we have to consider the cost of being a Christian. But understand that while you're considering the cost, while you're thinking about it and him hauling around, you're being swept down that wide path while you're trying to figure it out. You need to know what path you're on, and you need to make the decision to leave the wide path and come to Christ. Now, here's the third thing. The wide gate and way, the journey, is better than the destination. If you're on the wide path, this life right now is as good as it will ever get for you. And let me tell you, you can ignore Jesus, you can ignore the Bible, and you can just party. You can let your human desires guide everything you do and try to just get as much money as you can to spend it and think you have a fun life. But it ends. It ends. And when it does, Jesus says the destination is destruction. And this does not mean annihilation. It means eternity of suffering because you rejected Jesus as the payment for your sins. So here's the narrow gate, though. The narrow gate and way leads to difficulty in this life. I read a comment by Beth Moore this week. She said there are a lot of people who denounce the prosperity gospel in Christianity. And she's right, there is. A lot of people denounce the prosperity gospel. But then what they will do is they will turn around and they will fully embrace the pampered gospel. I never heard that before, but she's right. See, they don't expect riches, but they expect it to be easy. They become Christians, and when all the bad things don't go away, they can't figure it out. This isn't what I signed up for. Well, actually, it is what they signed up for. All right? Luke 9:23 says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. See, it's not difficult to become a Christian, but the life that follows is. That's why we have to consider the cost. And the cost is dying to yourself. It is taking up your cross. Dying to yourself means that when the crowd says go this way and you know it's the wrong way, you choose to go the other way. Have you ever tried to go against the crowd at a large venue like a pro football or baseball game? Maybe the game's over and everybody's pouring out trying to get to their cars because they want to be the first one out of the parking lot, and you realize you left your purse at your seat or your jacket, and so you have to turn around and fight that crowd. Man, that's not easy, is it? I mean, you're getting bumped, you're getting pushed, you're getting moved, and that's kind of what the narrow road is like when you're fighting the wide path, right? Because you're going the other direction. Trying to go against the culture right now when it comes to saying marriage is between one man and one woman, right? Try going against the culture by proclaiming that man and woman are all the genders there are and they're not interchangeable. Try going against the culture where it concerns purity or keeping your virginity or drinking or what you watch or what you listen to. It's like instead of taking the float trip, while everyone else is floating downstream, you're trying to swim upstream to get back to your destination. And it's tiring. And you can't do it without the Holy Spirit. Jesus says in this life you're going to have trials. Trials because you chose the narrow path. Okay? Trials because your choices aren't popular with the people around you. Trials because Jesus is your Lord, and Jesus told us that no servant is greater than his master. He said, if they persecuted me, they will persecute you. And so on the narrow road, you're going to have a blessed life, but it's not going to be an easy one. And even though there are hardships and trials, life on the narrow road also brings joy and peace and hope. And you don't get that on the wide path. Second thing, the narrow gate and way, it must be sought after. Jesus told us in Matthew 6:33, seek first his kingdom, right? You aren't going to be a Christian by accident. Remember, ask, seek, and knock. And in Luke, it was to ask for the Holy Spirit, okay? We're not a Christian because someone in your family is a Christian. Or because your friend is a Christian, or your husband or your wife or your boyfriend or your girlfriend is a Christian. You don't look up one day and find yourself on the narrow road and say, oh, hey, how did I get here? It doesn't work that way. You get on the narrow path when you see that what the wide path is all about, and you repent of it. You turn away from the wide, easy way of sin, admit your sin to the Lord, you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that he died on the cross, his blood shed to pay for your sins. And then you put him on in Christian baptism, dying to yourself, rising to new life. And then you choose to live a life that's pleasing to God. And your eternal life, it really just comes down to the choice of one path or another. It's the gate to destruction, or it's the gate that's wide. That includes all, and the wide gate includes all those who didn't. They just never made a decision. Not making a decision is making a decision to stay on the wide path. Last thing about the narrow gate, the destination is better than the journey. This in no way implies that the earthly journey for wide gaiters is better than the earthly journey of the narrow gaiters. All right? The narrow gaiters will experience more joy, even if the wide gaiters think they have more fun. Narrow, you're going to have more peace. When you're on the wide gate, maybe you have more things. It's all a matter of perspective. No matter how bad the wide gaiter's life might be, the destination is always destruction. It is always eternal. But no matter how good and how blessed the narrow gaiter's life might be, the destination is always going to be eternal paradise. There is not a life you could live. You may have the best life ever on earth. It will never even come close to what glory in heaven with Jesus will be like. The destination is heaven. It's eternity. It's with our Lord Jesus Christ, and there's no pain or death or tears or sin or darkness. And you know, I think the most painful thing about these verses is because so many people are on the path to destruction. Many people are on that highway to hell. Jesus calls them to the narrow road. Says, many are called, few are chosen. He calls them to the narrow road, but they won't answer the call. And so, church, what do we do with this? What do we do with this, knowing so many people are not on the narrow road? Well, that means that we need to go out and help folks find the narrow way. And it may be one-on-one. There are so many different ways to try to talk to people and witness to people about the Lord. But we have a responsibility to at least throw it out there. Okay? Church, it means that we need to help Christians stay on the narrow way. Yes, we can choose to go back on the wide path. God will never forsake you, okay? But if your choices begin to lead you away and it makes your heart hard, you might find yourself that you're not on that path anymore. You don't even realize it. Church, because it's hard, we need to encourage people who are on the narrow path. The narrow path is not meant to be traveled alone. Okay? As the church, we need to encourage and help families stand up and say no to our culture. To help them say, we are not walking the same path as everyone else. And if someone says, well, why are you so narrow-minded? Well, I'm not narrow-minded. I'm kingdom-minded. And I'm heaven-minded, okay? And I'm going to be on the narrow road. I'm going to stay on the narrow road. We have to be willing to go against the flow, to swim upstream, to live biblically, not worldly. What we need to do is let the world know that we are willing to stand up and stand out for Christ. Let me close with this. 12 men. 12 men went into the promised land to scout it out. And they found a land flowing with milk and honey. They found a land where the cities were already built. And it was amazing. But there were also people there. And they were big. And they had armies. And of those 12 men, 10 of them came back and said, we're like grasshoppers to them. We're nothing. They're going to stomp us. They're going to smash us. And Caleb and Joshua said, God has already promised us this land. He's already given us this land. We need to go in and just take it. And the easy path was to say, we can't do it. We're not going to go in. And you know what? That's what they did. The nation of Israel took the wide path that day. And God wasn't happy about it. And so that whole entire generation that refused to go in and that took the wide path, you know what they did? What their end was? It was destruction. They died in the desert. And of the 12, only Joshua and Caleb, what did they get to do? They took the narrow road. What did they do? They entered the promised land. And there's, boy, what a picture. They stood strong, they stayed on the narrow land, they lived in obedience to God, and they entered the promised land. That's what the narrow road leads us today. It's the promised land. It's heaven, it's eternal life with Jesus. And the last question today, does the path you're on lead to where you want to go? And if you're not sure, I would love to talk to you about that after church today. All right? Let's pray together. Father God, Lord, we just come to you and we are so thankful that you have been very clear in your word about what we need to do to be saved. You have been very clear that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, that no one comes to the Father except through him. You are very clear that there is a narrow road and few will find it. Lord, we want people to join us on this road. So open our eyes to those that we can witness to. Keep us strong to stay on it. Lord, when we start to turn to the right or the left, I pray that you would convict us through your Holy Spirit to stay on the straight and narrow road. Lord, give us strength through your Holy Spirit to just be the strong Christian you want us to be. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.